Good morning, church. Thanks for joining with us this morning. I am Stephen Walker. I'm the preaching minister at the Kanawha City Church of Christ. This is our youth minister, Jacob Glasspell. Obviously, we're doing things a little bit differently today, so we're going to have Jacob explain to you why that is.
So, I'm sure you're aware about this virus going around called the coronavirus, and it's kind of shut down a lot of things. It's kind of being taken really seriously, which it should, and we just felt that it was in the best interest of our members and to stay home, be healthy, make sure you're washing your hands, all of that they're saying on the CDC. Couple things that might have come up in your mind with us canceling the worship service, communion. What we're doing is we're not actually gonna have a time of communion in this little setting here, but we do encourage that you as a family take the time during today, take the time during whenever, to go through what communion means to you. I think that's very valuable. I think it's going to be a valuable time together to just be able to go through that with one another and take in communion. For worship, if you're like me, I love to sing. I love the singing aspect of the service. So worship in your car. Hopefully you're not going too many places with too many people. Worship at home. I'm sure if you're watching this video, you obviously have a way to look at YouTube. In the link below, in the couple links below that we're going to post in the comments on this video, I'll put some songs that I've been listening to recently, along with one song that I'm planning to teach the congregation, hopefully next month in April. And it's called King of My Heart. And if you go on YouTube, look King of My Heart by Zoe Group, Z-O-E. They have a very good version of this. A couple other songs that have been on my playlist recently that have really touched me are, it's a song called Reckless Love. I'm really loving that song. It's again, Zoe Group has that rendition if you want to hear it a cappella. And then there's a song that really touches me. My favorite hymn is It Is Well. And Bethel Music does this It Is Well, which is just beautiful. So we'll have the couple links down there. But I recommend any Zoe Group album, any Praise and Harmony album that you would want to listen to. The one that's been on repeat in my car and in on my phone is called Ever Almighty by the Zoe Group, so I highly recommend those. Learn some words, look up the lyrics, sing along with them. Nobody's around to hear you sing now, so you'll sound great. So.
Here's something that you might talk about, something that specifically my family is going to be particularly interested in. Any other families that that may have kids, may have grandkids with you, you're wondering how do we put something together for our children? What's something church can be doing there?
We, again, are actually going to be posting a link at the end of this video with a link to some of our curriculum that Carson's actually put out there for our students. And we found a study that kind of goes along with what we're about to talk about today. So I highly recommend to, you know, if you have the teens, which is what I'm used to teaching, I would have them watch this video with you because I think that they're going to get a lot out of this. Yep. But if you have the littler ones, we're going to have that link in this video that you can go to and go through that lesson. And the lessons are fairly easy enough to where you can basically, if you have no teaching experience, you can go through lesson by lesson. But I think that your kids will get a lot out of that.
Perfect. Yeah, we want to make sure that even though we are not able to meet together right now, and we're hoping this is only for a limited amount of time. This is just the plan for right now. We'll be getting back in touch with you later on in the week and kind of see what we're doing moving forward. But during the meantime, we want to make sure that we are still accomplishing a time of worship and Bible study and spending time together. We can still have this unity together, even though we're not in the same place. Our hearts are in the same place. And I think that that's important for us to spend this time together within our own families, but also knowing that we together as a family, no matter where you are right now, are experiencing this time together.
Yeah, I think a lot of change is happening right now.
Right.
Yep. Like I was telling Stephen earlier, you know, I wake up and now the first thing that I check is what's happening with this virus. So we're trying to keep a normalcy in this changing environment. So we hope that you're able to go along with us as we learn how to be normal through this.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, what we're planning on doing this morning is we kind of debated going back and forth between, do we change everything because of what's going on, or do we try to keep the momentum? We started a new sermon series last week on the I Am statements that we find in John's Gospel. And we've talked about how we were going to be doing that over the next few weeks together. And we debated, you know, do we take a break from that so we can address the issue at hand? And we started looking really at the I Am statement that we were supposed to be on this week. It's in John chapter 8 and verse 12. And we found that, honestly, to this I Am statement by Jesus very much addresses what our world is dealing with, and how we as Christians should respond to that. And so we're looking at this passage, and the main verse is, you know, if we were in a regular church service this morning, this would be the verse I would have given to somebody to do our scripture reading. And this is what it says. It says, "Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" So Jesus looks at these people that he's talking to, and he says, "I am the light of the world." And so that's our I Am statement this morning. I am the light of the world. Jesus, or what John writes here at verse 12 is that, again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, we need to kind of understand what's going on here. Who is the them that he's talking to, and what's the background? John chapter 8 begins a little bit differently, and there's a passage there that is kind of debated whether or not it should be in this part or in a different part. I know a lot of boring stuff, but the ancient manuscripts put them in different places. And so what you need to really look at is that John 8 and verse 12 really connects back to the end of John chapter 7. And all throughout John chapter 7, Jesus is spending some time at a particular feast, a particular celebration that was big within the Jewish culture. It's called the Feast of Tabernacles, or some might call it the Feast of Booths. And it was this huge celebration, and there were huge crowds there to celebrate this time. When we come into John chapter 8 and verse 12, it seems the crowds have kind of moved away. This feast has come to an end, but they're coming out of this feast. And that feast is really determining what's getting ready to happen. And now the people that are left that are talking to Jesus are basically his enemies. The people that don't want him to be the Messiah that he's been claiming that he is. And so Jesus is beginning to respond to them. And he says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." You see, Jesus makes this I Am statement about how he's the light of the world. And the Jewish leaders that he's talking to were very proud of their heritage, very proud of being Jews and where they came from. And because of that, they wanted to be the chosen people. And not just the chosen people, but the only people. They didn't want the coming Messiah to be the light of the world. They wanted the coming Messiah to be the light of the Jewish people. And so Jesus makes this statement that already is beginning to set them off by saying, "I'm not just the light to the Jews, but I'm the light to the whole world." And that's kind of the verse that really takes us and drives us through this study that we're going to be in together. So Jacob, maybe what you could do is, you know, we've each looked at this passage and looked at it in different ways. And maybe, Jacob, you can take a look at it first and kind of give us a little bit of your take as to what Jesus is saying here and what this might mean to you.
Yeah. So, I mean, I take it as, what's interesting is the light. You know, I am the light of the world. I looked it up, and the word light is actually used about 270 times-ish throughout the whole Bible. Light is very important to us. And this idea of being a light in the darkness is just kind of an abstract idea, but at the same time, we see it in our day-to-day lives. I mean, if you go outside at night, you have the light because you have the stars and the moon. And if you jump down to verse 19, which actually before we get into actually diving into this, I'm going to give you a moment to pause the video where we're at, and I'm going to go ahead and have you read, because I don't think Stephen and I, we are going to read everything through chapter 8. So go ahead and pause your video. Here's what you can pause it on. You're going John 8, verses 12 through 59. And once you're done reading that and actually take that in, go ahead and press play and we'll continue on here. So this light of the world, I think that this idea is just so awesome. Mm-hmm. And so I took a couple times and I read this through. And a verse that kept jumping out to me was actually verse 19, which I'll read. It says, "They said to him, therefore, where is your father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my father. If you knew me, you would know my father also." And Stephen, you know how much of a nerd I am. I love Disney. Disney is probably my favorite thing ever. And I'm not getting paid by Disney to say this on a video. I'm just saying I love Disney movies.
Which we didn't plan to give a whole lot of advertising to Disney. If you saw last week's sermon, I did the same thing. We just both love Disney.
Yeah, and so, on top of that, Disney's closed. So really, we aren't getting money off of them, so don't worry. But my favorite Disney movie is The Lion King. And I've used The Lion King in several illustrations with the teens and with any time that I'm talking, because it can really be used to illustrate these points. But when he says, if you knew me, you would know my father also, it kind of made me think of this scene from The Lion King. And so in this scene, you've got Simba. He doesn't remember who he is. And Rafiki's like, you are your father. Your father lives in you. And he's looking down at this puddle, and he sees, or at this river, and he sees his reflection. And at first, he sees his reflection here. But as the scene continues, it kind of ripples into Mufasa, his father. And I think that's so important because, you know, people were able to look at Simba and see his father. And the same way, Jesus here is saying, you see me, you know who I am, you know who God is, you know who my father is. And I just think that's so powerful. And kind of to link that to this, I am the light of the world, is God was also known as the light.
Exactly.
You know, this idea of being the light is very prevalent throughout the Old Testament. Actually, in that 275 times, about 177 times comes from the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And most of it is God being referred to as light. Mm-hmm. And even if we jump back to Genesis, I mean, if you go to Genesis 1:1-5, I mean, it says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void and darkness. There's that word darkness. It was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, there it is, let there be light. Now he just said that there was darkness. And to overcome that darkness, God says it into existence, let there be light. Mm-hmm. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. It's the first thing that we hear that God says is good.
Yeah.
So God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And that was evening and morning the first day.
It's interesting to think about that, for God to say, let there be light. This is creation. This is the very beginning. God, at this point, is creating things that are reflecting himself, and really showing who he is and what his nature is. And so I think it's important, and it's just kind of amazing that he begins by creating light and kind of giving the world already a picture of who he is.
Yeah. So. I mean, he creates it out of nothing.
Yeah.
There's not a sun to make brighter. There's not stars to light the world. It's there's nothing.
Yep, absolutely.
And so he creates light. And I like that imagery that you just said, where he creates it out of his own image. Mm-hmm. So his image is light.
Yep, exactly.
If you jump over to Psalm 139, David's going to say this. He says, if I say, surely the darkness shall overcome me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. the night is bright as day, for darkness is as light with you. I think that's just, it's beautiful poetry.
Absolutely. Right.
In Matthew 5:14, and this is actually, if you jump to your children's lesson, this is where your children's lesson is going to be this
exactly.
week. And it says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Jump over to John 1:5, it says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. 1 Peter 2:9, I love this verse. It says, but you are a chosen race. This is us. We are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that we may proclaim, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So this idea of light is just so awesome, yeah. I think. I mean, there's not really many words that I can describe it. Rather,
And I love that. Awesome. We're being called out of darkness into light. Mm-hmm. We're being called into what God is, into his yeah. very nature.
So. I mean, we are often called to be the light of the world. You mm-hmm. know, we're that light in everybody's darkness. Mm-hmm. We say it a lot, but do we really remember what it means?
Right. Yeah.
And so just... for God or for Jesus to say, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk into darkness. And I like that. You know, if you follow Jesus, you're not gonna fall into darkness.
Exactly.
But that's not, what's really neat about this is that is the first verse of this whole I am statement.
Yep.
He opens this up and he's ready. He's ready to go. Jesus is like, I'm the light of the world.
Right.
And then he kind of goes on to say more I am statements. So, Stephen, could you go into more depth with those?
Yeah, so that's the thing that I find really interesting about this passage and how Jesus is making these statements. And we're looking at the I am statements in Jesus, or in John and what Jesus is saying. And I'm not going to bore you with all the background Greek, but it is really interesting to see this in the original language. Because in the original language, oftentimes, the way they stated a particular verb would tell you who's saying it. Mm-hmm. And so they would have one word that would say, I am. But at times, they would want to emphasize something. And when they wanted to emphasize it, they would put the actual word I in front of it. And so essentially, when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, what he's actually saying is, I am the light of the world. He's saying that I twice, which is really cool.
And that's weird, though, because we don't do that in English.
No.
I mean,
no.
We just have the word I and the word am.
Yeah.
We don't, I want to go around saying, I am
right.
Jacob Glassbow.
But, you know, we kind of do it in some ways because we use contractions, and they don't really use contractions so much.
Okay.
And so, you know, for us, if we just didn't really want to emphasize it, we might say, yeah, I'm the light of the world, and just say I'm. But when we want to emphasize it, we say, listen, I am the light of the world. He's putting emphasis on who he is. And what this is all coming back to, and this is a verse we looked at last week, and I didn't put this up here again, I wish I would have, is back in the book of Exodus, in chapter 3 and verse 14, when God is talking to Moses in the burning bush, and he's calling him to go and to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. Mm-hmm. And Moses says, well, who should I tell him is sending me? And you remember, what God tells him is tell him that I am sent you. That the I am is the one who is sending you. And he uses this exact language. And so this is a passage that the Jewish leaders who are arguing with Jesus right now are familiar with. Mm. And so when Jesus uses this language, this I am, they don't care about the light of the world. They haven't even heard that part. They heard I am. And what they heard was Jesus say, he made a statement of divinity. He's making a statement that I'm God. I am God. Mm. And that throws them off. They don't like that. Because they knew that God would send a Messiah. But they didn't expect it to be Jesus. Mm. Jesus wasn't being who they thought he would be, or even who he should be. They knew Jesus is making claims that he is the Son of God. And they knew his parents. They're close to home. They know Joseph. They know Mary. And they say, we know your parents. And it's not God. But Jesus is making this statement with this I am, that he is that he is the light of the world, that he is God. And he goes on to continue to make statements about this, all in just John chapter 8. Mm-hmm. Jesus makes several I am statements. He says, here, I am the light of the world in verse 12. Verse 18, he says, I am the one who bears witness about myself. And there's that emphatic way of saying it again. Verse 23 says, I am from above. And you'll have to read the whole passage to see what the background to this is as to why he's saying these things. Mm-hmm. But the key point is that he's using that emphatic I am. And then in verse 23 again, he says, I am not of this world. Mm-hmm. And so several times as Jesus is speaking to these Jewish leaders who are coming against him, and not to get too far ahead of us and tell you how this is all going to end, but we come all the way down to verse 59, the last verse in this passage. And Jesus has said all this. And after saying all these, making all these statements about who he is, about the fact that he is God, it says, so they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Why did they pick up stones to throw at him? Because that's what their law required. If you blaspheme God, and what we mean by blaspheme God in this case, if you claim to be God and you're not God, they had every right to stone you. And they're saying, you're making this claim to be God. But the problem is, they didn't want to believe that.
And I think it's crazy because Jesus isn't just saying, I am God. He's saying, I am God.
Exactly. And he's connecting it to all these various things that talk about the nature of God. Mm. But what's really neat is that this is only about half of the I am statements in John chapter 8. John chapter 8 continues, and he makes even more I am statements. But this time he makes statements that we call absolute I am statements. In these, he says, I am the light of the world. But in the absolute statements, Jesus just says, I am. He makes that just very bold, emphatic statement that he takes all the way back from Exodus chapter 3 and just says, I am. And so we look at some of these. John 8 and verse 24, Jesus said, I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, he says, I am, we translate it, I am he, but in just the original language, he just says, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. Same thing, John chapter 8 and verse 28 says, so Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. Once again, original language, just I am. And that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. He's making claims to being with the Father and learning of the Father. And now he is reflecting the Father, as Jacob talked about earlier, the nature of the Father, and if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And he's saying that the Father's taught me these things. I'm him. And then we get to the last one, and this is the one I love. It says, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And this is such a powerful statement, because if you back up to verse 48, you'll see that the Jews are really starting to come against Jesus, and they say, are you not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and you have a demon? They kind of make two claims against him. They call him a Samaritan. They knew he wasn't a Samaritan. Mm-hmm. But to them, a Samaritan was nothing good. Mm-hmm. And so this was an insult. You're a Samaritan. On top of that, you're demon-possessed. Mm-hmm. And Jesus isn't either one of those. But they're saying that, and he's going back and forth with them and talking about who he is and talking about his relationship to the Father and all the way back into their heritage. And they don't like this because they're going back. I just want to look at this whole thing. I'm trying to skip through it, but I'm not going to. Verse 50, he said, or verse 49, Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not speak of my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Here's the problem there in verse 52. They're bringing it back to Abraham. They're bringing it back to the prophets. These are their heroes. These are the people that did everything to establish who they are as a people, especially Abraham, who's their patriarch. He's Father Abraham, as we sing about. And in their eyes, Jesus is making this incredible claim that he, who they think is just simply a person, has no God-like feature in him, he's making a claim that he's better than Abraham. And that just burns right through them. And so they said, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be? And Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. He is my Father. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, then I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. And so the Jews said to him, 'You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?' He said, 'You're not old enough to know Abraham. Yeah. You know nothing about this guy.' And Jesus said to him, this is where he makes this incredible statement. 'Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am.'" You see, what he is calling them to do is he's calling out their hero. He's calling out the father of their nation. And he's not saying anything bad against Abraham. I mean, Jesus loves Abraham. We read about all the great things that Abraham did. You know, Jesus or Abraham was a hero to these people and even a hero to Jesus. You know, he was, from an earthly standpoint, this was his father, Abraham, also. But he realized that what they said is that there is only one who is greater than Abraham. And what they understood that. They understood there's only one who's greater than Abraham, and that's God. And what Jesus says is, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." And he's saying, "I am God." And he's leaving them with a choice to make. You see, they trusted. They built all their hope, everything that they believed in, everything that they knew. Their safety and their security was in being children of Abraham. And now Jesus is calling them to something greater by saying, "Even before Abraham, I am." And it's interesting, he doesn't say, "I was," as if he was something in the past, but yet he remains to be, "I am." Mm. It's an incredible statement. And he really leaves these Jewish leaders with a choice to make.
And so now you're saying this "I am" is the same "I am" that he uses, "I am the bread of," or "I am the light of the world."
Exactly.
So yeah. This is that I am.
Exactly. Every single time it's emphatic. And there's other places in John chapter 8 where Jesus will make a statement. He says, "I am something or other." And he actually doesn't use that emphatic. He just uses the one word. And so we see the difference. If you're looking at the original language, you see the difference between the times he emphasizes it and the times he doesn't.
And what else I find interesting about this is, you know, and I always laughed when I would read the Bible and read when Jesus says these two words, the "truly, truly," because I want to think of it as Jesus is getting, like, he's getting heated. He's like, "Truly, truly, I say to," like, "listen to me."
Yeah.
And not only that, but he does the "truly, truly," like, "listen here, I am."
Yep, exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah, he is really emphasizing the point right here and really bringing it home that he is, you know, he's the light of the world, you know, which is the nature of God. But he's not just saying, "I'm carrying out," and maybe this is part of where the Lion King analogy begins to not quite do justice to what we're talking about. Because in that, Simba was the reflection of Mufasa. And what Jesus is saying is, "I'm not just the reflection. I'm the one who's in the picture. I am he. I and the Father are one." And that, you know, he'll say that later in John. That's just such a great thing for us to understand that these Jewish leaders didn't like.
Yeah.
And so he makes this statement, "I am God. I am the light of the world." And that's important for us to understand, is that Jesus is the light of the world and what that means for us. Mm-hmm. So we've looked at this idea. We understand that Jesus is the light of the world. He says, "I am the light of the world." But the key point within our entire series has been this: not just who is Jesus, not just, you know, what he says, "I am," but who are we? Mm-hmm. Who am I in light of the great I am? That's why we've been wording this.
Yeah.
And so maybe you could talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I take it all back to our, this "I am" just board. And I don't know how well it's picking it up on the camera there, but there's just so many words on here, and we have this posted, I think, and if we don't, we'll go ahead and post it. But there's just so many words, and how we got to this was I thought of a few words, but then I put the question out on Facebook.
Yep.
I said, I'm needing help. You know, we're doing this series and I need, who are you? I need you to answer these questions, or this question, who are you? And I got great responses, and that's what makes this board so great, is it looks like we are either doing real well or real bad.
Yep. And there are things on here that it's just, it's so different, the different things that people take on, look at, and like I'm looking at, you know, somebody said I'm enough, and right above it, somebody else said I'm wretched.
Yeah.
I mean, people see themselves so differently in light of this world.
There's one that says, and I loved this when he posted this, he said, I am a sinful and imperfect man with faith in Jesus and his atoning. I get so much out of that.
Yep.
But there's all of these, like, I am done.
Yep.
I mean, that could be taken good or bad.
Yep.
You know, that could be the darkness or the light. But there's also these, I'm confused. I'm exhausted. I'm sad. You know, I'm a hot mess. There's just so many on here that I think we all can relate to. I think we all can look at this and relate to a time that we've probably felt like all of these.
Yep.
Maybe not like the mother and father one.
Right.
You know, but the ones that are more of like, who are you? Like, what are you in this moment?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of what we wanted to go with. And so then the idea of who are we? Mm-hmm. I am all of this in the great, in the light of the great I am.
Mm-hmm.
And how does Jesus say that he's the light that's going to shine in the darkness that we feel?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's imperfect. There's like I said, the journeying. I mean, you know, you might be journeying in darkness.
Yep.
You might
sad,
be trying to
exhausted.
Find,
yeah, yep.
Sad, exhausted. The I mean, there's fat. There's, you know, there's out of shape. There's just so many things.
Yeah.
And so we have to be looking at this. What does Jesus do? And so I have an illustration that I kind of thought of. So give me 1 second. I'm going to do this. All right. Oh, man. All right. Well, we didn't really take into effect this TV in front of us. Are we?
We'll make this happen.
Yeah. So, all right. So we're sitting in Stephen's office. It's pretty dark in here. But when you're in total darkness, and I feel like we've all felt that, and honestly, we might be feeling that right now with this scare of the coronavirus. As long as there's light, there's light. There is no darkness.
Yep.
And what's interesting is the further away you are from that light, you can still see.
Yep.
Your eyes have to adjust to it,
mm-hmm.
but you can still see in the darkness. But the closer you are to the light, you can definitely see.
Exactly.
And I think that's how we have to look at this. I am the light of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus says this, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you are not in darkness.
Yep.
And it's impossible to walk in the darkness with Jesus.
Yep.
And like you were saying earlier, you've got to have both feet in.
Yep.
And if you have both feet in, then you are at that light. You are able to see all.
Mm-hmm.
And you will not go into the darkness.
Yep.
So you will not fall into one of those, I am sad, I am confused, I am conflicted, I am whatever it is that you feel the darkness in. You will see that light. And no matter how far away you are, there's still light in him. So when you are feeling stressed, when you are feeling confused, when you are feeling down, done, remember that the great I am the light, is there to shine.
Yep.
I think of the song, This Little Light of Mine. I mean, I'm going to let it shine.
We're referencing the kids' songs a lot there.
It's yes.
Two good kids' songs you can sing with your children.
There
today,
you go. So. We gave you a couple, but, you know, don't let Satan get out. I'm going to let it shine. I just think of that. And that's basically what Jesus says. Mm. He's not going to let Satan take his light out.
Yep.
He's going to overcome Satan. He has overcome Satan.
Yep.
He's overcome death.
Yep. Well, yeah, I think that's just... it's just a big part of what Jesus is talking about here. I mean, you look back at verse 12. Let's go and get that light on.
Yeah.
So we can see the rest of this. But you look back at verse 12 again. It says, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. But then he goes on to say, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, he makes a, you know, once I keep talking about the emphatic statements, but Jesus makes so many emphatic statements here. And he makes this like emphatic negative here where he says, you can walk in light or you can walk in darkness, but you can't do both. Mm-hmm. But you take it all the way back to John chapter 1, which you referenced earlier, that when the light is there, the light always wins.
Yeah.
The light always overcomes the darkness. And so Jesus says, he's the light of the world. If you walk with him, you're not going to be in darkness. And I think that's what really brings us down to what we're dealing with in society today.
Yeah.
You know, we are struggling over what do we do about this coronavirus issue? What do we do?
Yeah.
You know, there's fear.
Yeah.
You know, people don't know what to expect. We don't know when schools are opening back up. We don't know when we're going to be able to meet again as a church.
We don't know when we're going to be able to buy stuff from the store. Because if you go to the store, you know, you've seen it everywhere.
Yep.
No toilet paper.
Mm-hmm.
There's no canned goods. Like, there's so much fear striking.
Yep, yep. But, you know, what Jesus tells us is we don't know about even tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know when our last breath will be. We're not guaranteed even another moment.
Yeah.
But even within the uncertainty that is life that we have to deal with right now, and the things that cause us concern, the things that have caused panic, the things that just cause us to just sit back and wonder, where do we go from here?
Mm-hmm.
How do we handle this? As Christians, Jesus doesn't say those things are going to go away. But he is saying that as Christians, we can choose, rather than walk in the darkness that is these times, we can walk in light.
Yeah.
And that's where our focus can be. And so I think that's where we need to bring this back to, is that with everything going on right now, and all the uncertainty, and all the fear of just the unknown, and what this could bring to us,
and how we get out of this.
Exactly.
I mean, there's a lot riding on everything.
Mm-hmm.
How do we get back into school after this is over?
Yeah.
How do we get back into a normal schedule?
Right.
I mean, this is really going to throw everything for a loop.
Yeah.
Being closed,
yeah,
being, you know, scared, frightened,
mm-hmm,
to being okay with after the fact.
Yep. Yeah. And that's the thing. We can choose to hunker down in that darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And curl up and just live in fear of it. Or we can cling to the light.
Yeah.
The only thing in this world right now that is of any light is Jesus.
Yeah.
And we can cling to that light. We can walk with him. And what I love is what he says, if you walk in the light, you can't walk in darkness.
Yeah.
You can't do both. And so what I want to encourage us all to do is, as we try to maneuver around all the uncertainty, let's not focus on the darkness. Let's focus on the light. And let's let the light guide us.
And I think one thing that we need to remember, because, I mean, what was just kind of going through my mind was, okay, Stephen, you know, you're talking about this light and Christians, and but we canceled church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what? Where's the light there? But I think the fact that there are a lot of churches that have canceled because of this,
mm-hmm,
because we're worried about our members. We're worried about people.
Yeah.
However, we're doing things like this.
Yeah.
We're providing ways where you can still worship, where you can still get that conversation,
mm-hmm,
going, where we're still showing our light as Christians,
yeah,
to the world.
Yeah.
I mean, how many podcasts or how many videos are going to be on Facebook tomorrow,
mm-hmm,
throughout this world because of this?
Yeah.
And so it might actually be super light in the world because it's going to reach those who haven't stepped foot in a church for a while.
Yep.
So I think us showing that, you know, we as a church, we as a leadership, still have church with you. Like we said earlier, we're trying to keep it as normal as possible.
Yep.
I think offering stuff like that, I think being able to be there for one another, for fellow Christians, I think that's important.
I think that's the thing. I mean, this is just a dark time.
Mm-hmm.
And especially for those who don't have any faith, who don't have any hope, who don't have a relationship with the God who is light,
yeah,
it's darkness to them.
Yeah.
And they just don't know what to do. But as you kind of, in your illustration earlier, and as we've talked about, light always overcomes darkness. Mm-hmm. And when you're walking in darkness, anytime there's light, that's the very first thing you see.
Yeah.
And so it provides us as people who are walking in the light, who Jesus has called to be the light of the world, it provides us an opportunity to shine bright.
Yeah.
And to let the world see that, yeah, in this world that there are troubles. I mean, Jesus says that in John. In John 16:33, he says, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But he says, take courage, I've overcome the world. And I think another way he would say that is, in this world, you're going to have darkness, but take courage, I'm the light that's overcome the darkness.
Yeah.
And that's where we are. We live in the light, we walk in the light, and as people have to live in darkness and they see others living in light, that's going to be attractive. Mm-hmm. That's going to be where they want to be. And so our job is to reflect the light and to shine the light of the God who is living in us and who has claimed and shown that he is the giver of light to the whole world and that he is the light of the whole world.
He so, is.
Yep,
I am.
Yep. So, well, I think that's about all we've got at this point. Be continuing to check in with us, check our Facebook page, look out for your emails. We're going to be giving some updates. Probably about Thursday of this week, we'll give you an update as to what the next steps are. Right now, we're kind of like everybody else. We don't really know for sure.
Yeah.
And we're just taking this one day at a time. As more information comes in and we're able to look over that and as our leadership gets together to discuss these things, we're going to try to the best of our ability, make decisions that hopefully will be the best decision for all of us. Mm-hmm. And that may mean that for a little while, we have to worship and study and be a church together in a sense like this. But we look forward to the time when we can all be meeting together again. So be looking out for, like I said, we'll send out some announcements about that. And don't forget, check the comments below. We're going to post those songs. We're going to post the Bible study for your children. And we'll even maybe post the picture from the I Am statement so you can look over what other people have said as well. And we can put that in the comments. But we appreciate you all joining us and being patient with us as we come through this just the same way you are and do the best we can. So,
well, do you want to close us out in prayer?
Yep, let's do that. Holy Father, we thank you for being the light in the darkness. We thank you that in this world where, as a whole, we're struggling to know what's next, struggling to know how we're going to get through this. And Father, there's just so much uncertainty. And we pray, Father, that you can give us the strength we need to hold on to you and to continue to walk in that light. Father, we pray for all the people who are being affected by this virus. And pray for them and for their families. And pray that you can just allow the best thing to happen and that people can begin to start overcoming this and regaining their health. We pray that you help those who are working with them to be able to give them what they need to get better, as well as to protect themselves, and pray that you be with them and their families as they're putting themselves right in the line of fire for the sake of others. And we thank you for that sacrifice that they're making. We pray for those who are studying this thing and trying to come up with solutions. Pray that you will give them some wisdom and help them to find what it is they need to find so that we can get back to some normalcy in this life. But Father, we pray that we never become too comfortable and too okay with just the things of this life. And we pray that we use times like this to remind ourselves that we live for something greater. And we live for a future hope and a future home and a future peace that we can only know with you. So Father, we thank you for being the one who was before all things, in all things, and will always be. Father, help us to put our hope and our trust in you. We love you so much, Father, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.